What would it be like if all of a sudden somebody gave you a book that says this is what's going to happen? You remember there used to be a TV show that was talked about somebody would read the newspaper, but they'd see it in advance and then they'd go out into the future and they'd try to change things. One of the amazing things is that God has given us a very special book. And inside of this book, He has told us what things are going to happen even in advance. And so, therefore, He started telling us or talking to us. First of all, He sent an angel. He sent an angel to reveal to us Jesus Christ. And inside of that, we saw Jesus Christ in His glorified state in chapter 1. And then in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we looked and we saw what was going to happen in this church age. And inside of this church age, the time that we're living in, God says, here it is. Here it is. I want you to know. And we're moving toward that time of Philadelphia, time of Laodicea, last church age. And we recognize and we saw in all of these ages that you could pick out pieces of just about all the churches. But finally, He brought us down to this last time. And then He took us to heaven in chapter 4. He took us to heaven, and there we saw the glory. We saw the living creatures, the four living creatures. We saw the thrones that were gathered around Jesus Christ. And there they were given praise and honor to the Lamb of God. Giving praise and honor to Jesus. And then they brought out this book, this little book. And this book was the inheritance of the universe. And this universe had been lost to Satan because of sin, but now it was Jesus. It was Jesus who took this book and all the plagues that are in the book, all the things it had to go through for the redemption of the earth. It was Jesus Christ. He redeemed the earth. And then all of a sudden we saw that God says, okay, guys, this is it. And He began to give judgments. Seven seals. Seven trumpets. Finally, the seven bowls. And then at the end of chapter 16, we saw the seven bowls coming down. And then God gave us a little interlude between chapter 17 and chapter 18. In chapter 17, He introduced us about Babylon and the fall of ecclesiastical Babylon. And that's what we're going to kind of review chapter 7. Does anybody remember last week? Yeah. Okay, good. You remember last week. It was a little bit difficult to kind of put all these pieces together because in chapter 17, what began to happen, we saw that this religious false prophet came on under the title of Beast. And under the title of Beast, all of a sudden, he started rising to power and in the name of religion. Religion has been used throughout the ages to try to control people. If you think about it, religion has been used trying to control people. I remember reading in history of how that there was some of the popes that would tell the kings, you've got to crawl up this step and you've got to kiss each step all the way up, trying to control people. The Inquisition, and that's a black mark on the church because in the Inquisition, people tried to control people by murder, by killing, by war. And that was never God's way. To go and to defy, to use the sword to overcome. God's way was the way of grace, and it was a different way. It was a different way. But then all of a sudden we see this political leader this religious false prophet rising up in the name of peace. And at the same period of time, there were 10 nations over here, over in Europe. These 10 nations started banding together. And they said, let's do this. And they rose to power. Let's give all the power to the beast. To the beast, meaning the Antichrist. And so therefore, this religious sector of the world, one world religion, was now focusing its attention and giving all the power toward the beast who rose up. Now this beast was one that we see, this Satan Superman. He rose up on the screen. And Satan Superman, he had all power. In fact, one time we read about how that he would be the seventh and the eighth world leader. The seventh in that he became the world leader, and for whatever reason, it appeared that he died. But then out of perdition, he rose back up. And he became the eighth leader. And all the world marveled. And all the world started bowing and giving authority. Well, this religious leader, this religious beast, sector, beast being code word, this religious false prophet and all religion now that was seeking to help to control the world, all of a sudden the beast, the Antichrist, says, you know what? We don't need religion anymore. So what happened? God put it in the hearts for the peoples of the world to destroy the religion of the world. And that's exactly what happened. This false beast, this false prophet now was eaten by the people. The people destroyed this false religious system. And why? Because it was great wealth in there. And the beast says, the Antichrist says, I want the wealth of the world. And so therefore he destroyed the church, the religion of that world, and got all of the money of that world. Now, when I said church, don't think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one world religion. And destroyed that one world religious leader and got all of the money. Now, after that began to happen, he got all the money. He also wanted the prestige. And so he says, this is what we'll do. We'll have everybody bow to me. Now, all of a sudden, he's got the wealth. All of a sudden, he's got the prestige. And so therefore, he moves upon the world to destroy this beast. And now he stands alone. Ecclesiastical fail. Babylon, ecclesiastical fail. But in the course of this, I want you to see that there is going to be Babylon coming on the scene. And today we're going to be looking at Babylon in the 18th chapter, the political Babylon. And we're going to be looking at a literal city. We're going to be looking, and you know, sometimes I always got focused on the Antichrist going to Jerusalem and defiling the temple, but just a few miles north, there where false religion began was in Babylon. Of all places, Babylon. Oh, that country. What touches that country? Iran, Syria, Turkey, Jordan. And do you know what country touches Jordan? Israel. And so when we begin to look at this, we begin to say, well, how important is all of these things? Well, I can tell you, we read this week how that Iran said there needs to be a preemptive strike against Israel before they bomb our nuclear reactors. Well, who sold the nuclear information to Iran? Russia. And also, 2 weeks ago, if you were reading the papers, you would see where Russia called for Russia and Qatar and Iran to form this pact because they own 55% of the energy. We don't think about where is Russia getting their wealth today? It's coming from petroleum products, coming from gas. So therefore, the richest nation in the world, Qatar, now Iran, and now Russia, now Iran began to say, look, if the United States attacks Iran to destroy the nuclear reactors there and that nuclear knowledge there, then what we're going to do, the Royal Guard of Iran, is going to attack Israel. Well, all of these things, that's this week. I mean, that's the last 2 weeks. That's what we're developing. That's what's going on in our world right now. And so, if you wanted to say, let me give you a scenario. Babylon is going to be reinstated. Satan, Superman, the Antichrist, is going to be in Babylon where all these false religion began, and it's going to become a superpower in the world. And you would say, now wait a minute. Babylon? Right now, what is it? Oh, it looks almost like a desert place. In just a moment, we're going to show you a few slides. Not yet, but in just a moment, I'm going to give you just a little picture, mental picture about this. But this is what was happening. In Iraq, that's where Babylon is located, okay? In Iraq, there was this leader called Saddam Hussein. He was a dictator. And he held this country in poverty level, and all the wealth he was just consuming and assuming himself. Insomuch that they were third from the bottom of all the Arab nations in wealth. But if Babylon in Iraq is going to become this superpower, how's it going to happen? Well, if that's going to occur, number one, you've got to take out the dictator that's holding the country down. And then number two, you're going to have peace in the land. And then number three, you're going to have a superstructure, an infrastructure of the country so that they can handle the wealth that they have. And then number four, you're going to have some kind of system which will bring all the wealth of the world to come to Babylon. How would you do that? How could you accomplish that? Wait a minute. Did the United States not go in and take out the dictator? Is not the strongest nation in the world, the strongest army in the world, seeking to bring about peace? Is not the strongest nation in the world pumping in about $12, $13 billion a month to keep peace in Iran? And did you read in the papers where Iraq, I changed words on you. Iraq's where Babylon is. Did you read in the paper where Iraq has stored wealth? $73 billion surplus? With their 28 million people, that means they could have about $2,700. They could give every person in that country $2,700, and their annual salary was only around $3,600 a year. And so what the article is telling us is that Iraq, they've got the wealth, they just don't know how to distribute that, and so therefore they're in the process of training. Now there's not but one element left, and that is for the Antichrist to rise up and say, I've got a patent on all the wealth of the world, and if I've got a patent on all the wealth of the world, then a little bit of all of the action that's going on in the universe, remember, when he comes on board, you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Who's patented that mark? None other than the Antichrist. And so therefore, all of the wealth of the world, a piece of all of the wealth of the world, is going to be funneling down into this new city that right now looks like almost like a desert place. Well, how can that happen? I think I've given you a scenario that we may be a part of history going on right now, moving toward the end of time, and we didn't even recognize it. But look in chapter 18. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. Sometimes when we begin to read in the paper, we don't know whether things are good or bad, do we? I mean, I read about or heard about this woman who said, I got married. And the friend of hers said, oh, that's good. And she said, but the man is very mean to me. And she says, oh, that's bad. And said that, well, he's very rich. Oh, that's good. But he's very stingy. She said, oh, that's bad. Well, he built me a big house. Oh, that's good. But the house burned. Oh, that's bad. But he was in the house. Sometimes we don't know when we're reading something, is it good or is it bad? Revelation chapter 18. As we continue our study, moving on into the future, let me get over here just a moment here. Revelation chapter 18, I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every clean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Okay, let's get focused right here. Revelation chapter 18. We're talking about the judgment of the economic system. Remember, as there's going to be a one world church, there's also going to be a one world government. And based on the inside of this one world government, there will be an economic system. And you might say, well, does that economic system, is it in existence today? And the answer is yes. There is an economic system. We've just gone through, we're in the midst of a catastrophic time in the world with the crash of the stock market. And we say, well, that really hadn't, it's hurt, but it's so much of it's on paper right now. But if it was your job that was lost, it'd be catastrophic. If it was you that was going hungry, it would be catastrophic. If you're at that age of retirement and all your retirement was wrapped up in some of this stock, and now all of a sudden you need money to eat off of, it would be catastrophic. And so what we're looking at right here now, though, is this wealth organization, Babylon, worldwide religion, worldwide economy, and all of these things coming, but you heard the voice, this angel coming out of heaven. Now, what I want you to see is several things that are happening in here. In the fall of Babylon, economic Babylon, in this fall, I want you to see Babylon as it really is, and then ask yourself, is this system in place today? The first thing I want you to see is the habitation of demons. In verse 2, the scripture says, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean spirit and every hateful bird. In other words, demonism, the demonic powers is going to be surrounding inside of this place. This place we call Babylon. Oh, it looks so just kind of like you won't see anything that jumps out at you. You're not going to see the spooks and the goblins and the little red devils with the horns on it and the pitchforks and the long tail with a little sharp point on it. You're not going to see that. But what you are going to see is people who are involved with astrology. What you are going to see is people who are involved with horoscopes. What you are going to see, and by the way, in the combination of horoscopes and the world of astrology and the world of demonism, you will also find drug infested. You will also find that this is in connection with that. And so therefore, we see this demonic power, this infestion, these people going after witchcraft, Wicca and New Age movement, you will see this happening. Is this something new? No. No. In the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 24 through 27, the Bible tells how this young man from Israel came. This young man, and therefore he was before the king, and the king had this dream, and nobody could interpret the dream. And he called for all of the charlatans, all of the soothsayers, all of the astrologists, all of these powers of darkness. And none of them could interpret the dream, but Daniel, who was of God, interpreted the dream. What's the point? The point in Babylon, there were, number one, in the leadership of this country, there were these demonic powers. And so therefore, we're seeing when this is destroyed, we're going to see this place. Secondly, he tells us, he called to separate out of this place. Let's look in verses 4 through 6. And I heard another voice of heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached into heavens, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. What are you looking at right there? God is calling out. He wants believers. You don't deal with that. You come away from that. Because this iniquity that's being built up. Hey, by the way, have you ever wondered why do the wicked people get away with it? Why did it seem like the evil people prosper? Why do these guys that have literally taken many retirements from our country sit up there in high places? How can they get away with stealing the nation blind and call it legal? How can wicked people do this? You know what? This has been a question that's been asked through the ages. And as we begin to see this, the Bible teaches us that there's a day coming from them. So we are. He's calling us to look, separate from them, because we're to be in the world, but not of the world. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Be ye separate." Now, who do you want to identify with today? Do you want to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you want to identify with Wall Street? Which is going to give you more power and authority and prestige in the world in which we walk in? A strong banking account or a Sunday school teacher? You know what? Nobody's ever introduced somebody else. This is President Bush. He is Sunday school teacher, State Line Baptist Church. He's not here. But anyhow, what's more important? Be a participant in angel food or to be the governor of the state? Which is more, you know what? We need to fix in our mind what real values are. And real values, he says, don't be swooped up in this economic system and lose your soul. Bible says, what gaineth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what should we do? We should have biblical resources. Does that mean that the Christians aren't supposed to be wealthy? Absolutely not. Abraham, father of our faith, he was one of the wealthiest men in the world. But the wealth didn't overcome his heart. And so therefore we've got to have things placed in order right now. And he's telling these people, look, they're getting wrapped up in this world system. Come out, because their sins, verse 5 says, for her sins have reached up into heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Let me give you a picture. Picture this. Is that in the day, in the book of Genesis? In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 5, and Genesis 18 through 21, Genesis 18, verses 21, 20 through 21, it talks about how that the judgment comes down upon, and we won't develop that. Let's move on. I want you to see something else right here, real quick. Pride comes before destruction. Let's look as we pick it up in verse 10. I'm sorry, we're at verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and no seed. Therefore her plague shall come in one day, death and sorrow and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. This day is coming. This day is coming. And we're going to see pride cometh before destruction. And then we're going to look and we're going to see how there's going to be weeping, the weeping observers. All of a sudden, outside of this, we will see in verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone of pearls, fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels, and all manner of vessels of the most precious woods, and of the brass, and of the iron, and of the marble, and cinnamon, and orders, and ointments, and frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. You see what's happening inside of this lady right here? All the wealth of the world, even slavery, even to the souls of man. There's going to be these observers. They're going to be looking on to these merchants of the world. But all of a sudden, they're going to discover their shelf life is going to be limited. The world traders, along with the water and the day traders along, they're going to mourn when the stock market crashes. So I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm 73, verse 12. Psalm chapter 73. And as you pick up on in Psalm chapter 73, I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to be reading in verse 10. Therefore, his people return hither, and water of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak, behold, I should offend against the nation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful unto me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. David was saying this. Why does the wicked prosper? How do they keep going? How do they keep getting by with it? But he says, then I went into the temple of God, and God said this. It's not over. And then all of a sudden he understood that they were on slippery ground. And their day was coming. In other words, payday, someday, is coming. The vengeance of God kicks in. We're going back now to the Revelation in chapter 18. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 21, verse 20, the Scripture says, I'm sorry, let me get to my verse here. Revelation chapter 18, verse 20. The Scripture says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles, for God hath avenged on her. Here's what I'm getting to. God's getting ready to turn out the lights. And when God turns out the lights, it's all over. For God said, I have avenged her. The blood that has occurred, the wickedness that occurred, it's being stored up. Y'all remember a guy named Cain and Abel? Cain killed his brother Abel, and his blood was there in the ground. And this blood began to cry out to God. And God brought vengeance against Cain. All those who have died in this world, their blood is now there in the ground. And God is getting ready to do forth vengeance. So let's read these last few verses right here. And a mighty angel took up a stone, a great stone, and cast into the sea. Thus with a violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and be found no more. And the voice of harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpets shall be heard no more in thee, and no craftsman. Of whatsoever craft he shall be found any more, shall not be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at thee. For thy merchants were great men on the earth, for by sorceries were all the nations deceived. And in her was found blood, the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let me just give you a few summation points right here. When God turns out the lights and there's a great cry that's going to occur. God wants us to understand several things. Number one, avoid that which is demonic. Avoid that which is demonic. Because if you get a part of that which is demonic, then you'll be playing into the system. Number two, practice biblical principles. Biblical principles regarding wealth and possessions. And God will bless you and there will be no curse upon that. If you will practice biblical possessions, biblical principles, then God will bless and honor and multiply and He will meet your needs. Number three, rejoice in the judgment of God upon evil men. When God brings forth judgment, so many times we'll say, oh, that's so terrible, but we ought to, as Christians, we ought to praise God when He brings judgment upon evil. The day in which we saw the Germany fall and the atheistic society, it was a glad day. And folks, when we see good triumphant over evil, let us rejoice. That's what the Bible teaches us. And number four, live with the understanding that the grave is not the end. It's not over, folks. It's not over. So therefore, in summary fashion, remember that there is an Antichrist that's going to destroy the religious prophet. There is going to be a one world religion. There is going to be a one world government. And there is going to be a one world economic system. And in a day, in an hour, how do I think that's going to possibly happen? I think it could very well be an atomic blast there in Babylon. And all of a sudden the networks, if you want to get a mental picture of that, do y'all remember when Twin Towers burned? Do y'all remember how that much of the world's economic was tied to the World Trade Centers? And then all of a sudden the world came to a standstill because of what happened in that one place. Even so much when the blast occurs, there's going to be a standstill. And those who are going to be at the distance, they will see the smoke rising up of the atomic warfare. It could be that way. And then they'll be looking at that. They may even see the mushroom of that smoke coming up. And when they see that smoke coming up, they will weep and they will wail because all of their wealth now is gone. It's gone. And now the only thing left is to face God. The only thing left is the battle of Armageddon. The only thing left is for the return of Christ. How should we live today? We should live for Christ because we know the future. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come, Lord, just mindful of what You're going to do into the future. And Father, I feel so inadequate, so limited in trying to read and trying to understand and trying to communicate this fall of Babylon. But Lord, what I do know is this. God is in control. And what I do know is this. There's going to be some bad days coming on planet Earth. And what I do know is this. We need to live for Christ today and savor the moment. And we need to recognize that death is not the end. It's only the beginning for us. Father, help us to rejoice when evil is triumphant over by good. Help us to sing victory. I pray, God, for Your people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to share an opportunity for invitation. Someone would like to give their life to Jesus Christ. We'd like to encourage you to come and give your life to Christ. If you'd like to be born again, if you'd like to be saved, please come and tell them. Say, Brother Robert, I'd like to receive Christ today. Prayer altar is going to be open. We know what the future holds. We've had a taste of the future. But we know this, that God's in control. And you might can say, oh, Brother Robert, are you afraid of the future? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Christ is coming. And folks, we're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. So until that day, until that time, let's rise tall. Let's stand tall and be counted as one of His children. Let's stand together as we sing.